Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. While just the fact that Jesus rose from the tomb is exciting and wonderful, particularly, I should imagine, for the first disciples, their teacher, their friend, their brother, a son. Oh, what joy, what celebration from an earthly perspective. But there is far more to the joy, far more to the celebration than the personal, emotional relief that Jesus is alive again. So then, we must ask ourselves, why is today such a wonderful day? Why is today a day of celebration and overflowing joy? Why should we be so excited that Jesus rose from the grave? And I wonder, what would you say to someone that asked these questions of you and your faith? On Good Friday, we emphasized from the passage the death and the centrality of the death of Christ to the message of the gospel. And it reminded us of Paul's word that in saying to the Corinthians that he preaches a gospel of Christ crucified. But this message of crucifixion and resurrection are both equally and crucially important to the overarching story of the gospel message. The good news of Jesus Christ hinges on this event of Easter. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he picks up an argument about some that are doubting the resurrection. He goes on to say that without the resurrection, we are to be the most pitied of all men. For without the resurrection of Christ, without Christ's resurrection and coming to new life as the sign of the first fruits of the new covenant, there is no resurrection, there is no hope, there is no life, no new life for any. And all remain lost and dead forever. So it is vitally important for us to understand the connection between the death and the resurrection and the way they are coupled together in the story of Christ and the message of hope and salvation. So that still doesn't answer the question, why is today so important and why is today such a day of celebration and joy? Well, I guess there are probably a number of passages we could turn to in the New Testament to think about this. But this morning we're going to turn to just a few verses from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through to 9. Chapter 1, verse 3 is headed like this, the hope of eternal life. And Peter writes these words. He writes these words to Christian communities which are under persecution and suffering, young in their faith. And he writes these words to encourage them, to challenge them, and to inspire them to remain faithful to the call that Christ has placed on them. And these words come to us in the same way. Peter writes, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we have a life with great expectation." See, Peter writes and he says, it is through God's mercy, his great mercy, that we can be born again to a new life, an everlasting life. That same life that Jesus spoke of to Nicodemus. And that same life that we can only know and inherit through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and faith in him. Because Jesus was raised to dead, we have great expectation. Great expectation. And this expectation that Peter writes about, he picks up in the next verse as we look at verse 4. And he writes, "And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." See, today helps us understand that we have an inheritance that is priceless, an inheritance that is held for us in trust by God for you. An inheritance which we will receive in the future, and in the meantime, an inheritance which cannot be changed, it cannot rust or rot or be degraded in any way, shape or form. So Peter urges them and urges us. "So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials." Many trials for a little while. "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Because of God's mercy, because he rose Christ from the grave, we can be truly glad because of all that God holds in store for us. "There is a wonderful joy ahead of us," Peter writes. "And even though there will be testing times, these times help to strengthen us and prove and mature our faith." Just like if you recall back to James last year as we worked through that, this faith that causes us to run and draw close to God when things are difficult and hard. They test us and help us prove God's grace and mercy and God's capacity to sustain us and enable us, even in the most darkest and difficult times in life. Overarching that, overriding all of that, is this mercy of God in Christ Jesus, who he rose, that we might have joy and be glad as we look forward to the inheritance of life eternal in his presence. So he writes on in verse 8, "You love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls." Peter writes of not seeing yet believing. That's us. We have not seen him in the bodily form. We have not met him or know him in this sense, and yet through the grace of God, through his mercy and through the provision of his Holy Spirit, we have come to know him, we have come to see him, and we have come to have a relationship with him by faith. And because of this, he says that we will be full of inexpressible joy. A joy that overflows, a joy that oozes out of us, as it were. It becomes a light and a hope in the world in which we live, and those around us can see that and feel that in us and know God's grace and mercy through us. And the prize, that inheritance, Peter frames it up beautifully, the salvation of our souls, not eternal destruction, not eternal damnation, not subject for God's wrath and righteous anger forevermore. No, no, no. The salvation, the preservation, the provision for our eternal being. Not a bodiless inheritance, where we know that we'll have a new body, a body like Christ. We know that somehow we will remain as we are and yet fully new and fully restored. And this is the hope that is set fast and sure, because Christ rose from the grave. Paul writes to the Ephesians saying, "This same power that is at work in you is at work in you The same power that rose Christ from the grave. All of this is rooted in God's mercy, so that we may be born anew to a living way, no longer subject to the law of sin and death. And all this has been accomplished for us by God when he rose Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God for Jesus, for Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's why today is such an important day. That's why today is a day full of joy and full of celebration. That's why we remember Easter the way we do. For as Peter writes it, all that God did for us through his mercy, his grace, his love, all that he did for us is through the raising up of Jesus from the dead, that we might have salvation of our souls, that we may know great joy and look forward to his gracious abundance as he holds in store for us an inheritance of eternal life in his presence, an eternity which will never break, rust will be broken, as we know the words of Revelation were, so were a new heaven, a new earth. That's what I look forward to. That's what I can look forward to because of Easter. Without Easter, as Paul would say, reminding us of the words of Paul wrote, that there is no hope and we are to be pitied among all men. But that's not the truth. That's not the reality. For God indeed raised Jesus from the tomb that we might know life anew, life everlasting. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that today is a special day. A day like no other day in all of history. On this day, we remember Christ rose from the grave. And that through this, by your mercy, in faith, we have been born again into your everlasting family. And you hold in trust for us, beyond the reach of any sense of decay, our eternal inheritance, until that day of full and everlasting restoration when Jesus Christ comes again. Sustain us, encourage us, fill us with your joy, your hope, your love, your grace, and your mercy. Enable us that we might be light and salt in the world in which you have placed us. For we ask this in Jesus' name, for your kingdom's sake. Amen.